The prospects seem as slim as the Israeli greeting shalom in the midst of a Middle East struggle. On earth, peace seems farther away than ever before. However, this change was foretold at Christmas. The birth of Jesus was to make this difference. So many changes can be traced. You can trace them in society. I number among those changes the abolition of slavery, a new position in freedom for women, the acknowledgement that human life is sacred. These are facts of history. The progress has been painful. There is much in these categories that remains ugly and evil. The record is full of blemishes, yet no one can deny progress. The birth of Jesus Christ sheds light that no opposition can extinguish. His birth persists toward influencing the course of the planet. But what shall we say about the high anticipation which rings out afresh each Christmas in the echo of the angel's song? Will the forthcoming year be the year of peace? Will standing armies be reduced? Will there be billions less spent for guns and battleships and fighter planes? Will nations live harmoniously with each other? Will we really be able to sing, "It's the old time religion makes me love everybody, makes the German love the Jew, makes the Irish love the English, makes the Greek love the Turk, makes the American love the Russian, makes the white love the black. It's the old time religion, and it's good enough for me"? You want to feel that way at Christmas. Why does it wear off 10 days later? His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Now that was the promise. Where shall we look for fulfillment? I can't see it on the front page. It doesn't reach me through the television screen. The public I see do not exhibit it. There are more nerve pills sold than ever before. There are more upset stomachs, more cardiac conditions, more mental illness. There are more insecure marriages, more legal squabbles, more crime in the streets. I can ask when, where, how, as I read of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. The cynic could snicker. When will that blessed program begin? Are they only pretty words, part of a holiday varnish? Are they to be taken in a poetic sense with holly and bells and Santa Claus? Was it only good intention? Has a world system proved too hard to crack? I would like to believe in the ethic, but war cemeteries everywhere on earth are grim evidence. The old disfigurements of human society, of national life, seem changed so little. Will this next year be any different? Can lust of gain be controlled? Who will stop inflation? Can the song of angels bring beef prices down and make mortgage money available at reasonable interest rates? Who can police passion for revenge? Will the banker find new sympathy? Will the drill sergeant ease a little on the discipline? Will the preacher be more understanding? Can taxes be lowered? Christmas seems to promise so much from October through December and accomplish so little from January through September. He seems that one elusive quality that's always evading mankind. For peace is contrary not to conflict only, but to every form of restlessness. And the majority of us appear to find it becoming more and more difficult to be restful. Even church services give the sense of struggle and unpopular demands. I face traffic snarls. There is speed that grandparents never knew. Constant perils of transportation. Modern communication won't let me alone. Somewhere, always, a bell is ringing. I'm handed a summons. Daily cares are multiplied. I'm always filling forms. I need legal counsel permanently. I'm jostled by movements of protest. I'm hounded by entreaties of compassion. My paycheck is always under attack. So where is this peace that Christmas embellishes? Has our preaching advanced something we cannot produce? Yet Christmas is in step with the deepest and most profound longings of humanity. Through strife, restlessness, and weariness, we're ready to listen to angelic voices. on earth peace. There's something working as something works to bring cream to the top, as something works to bring tide in and out. A final solution moves toward us, painfully slow it seems, nevertheless tangible. Christmas is neither legend nor expensive decoration. Christmas is fact. It is the ultimate. It cannot be revised or abrogated. The hindrances are complex. There are greed and grab. Hatreds are fanned by power seekers. Modern concepts of living erode old bulwarks of family. Fetters of sin are commercialized and profits soar. And it's difficult to appreciate the forbearance of God until I consider his patience with me. I err. I would have him impose a universal ceasefire, but he will never foreclose freedom and probation he has extended to save time. I'm satisfied that God is on schedule. My schedule must yield to his. The Christian concept, what God has undertaken, is so vast that no evangelist, no denomination, no mystic can appreciate the magnitude of God's redemptive plan. We only see in part. We only know in part. Grace has not failed, not by any standard of measurement, even the most cynical. What grace has undertaken is so giant that the progress up to date seems like the slightest beginning. What is available? I know this. I need not live in turmoil, uncertainty, with unresolved patterns of behavior. This peace is available to me. I may not see it experienced in the Middle East or along the Chinese-Russian borders, but I can see it prevailing in my life, and I, only I, am to blame if it is not. Personal peace is more important than national peace, international accord, or economic stability, as desirable as they are. Let me describe it to you. Like the sunshine after rain, like a rest that follows pain, like a hope returned again, is the peace that Jesus gives. Oh, the peace that Jesus gives never dies. It always lives like the music of a psalm. Like a glad eternal calm is the peace that Jesus gives. That peace has been on earth since Calvary. The open tomb, Olivet, multi-millions have known it. That is the peace Old Testament prophets saw and New Testament angels sang. And my mother enjoyed it amid agonizing budget, sparse furnishings and clothing, the strain of keeping a house full of boarders, little or no convenience, and the scorn of a church world toward her acceptance and testimony to a spirit-filled experience. For mother, the angel's proposition was a fact. She was at peace long before I glimpsed at the open casket and knew she was at rest. There was no quarrel with her calling. The most humble of parsonages, adorned with second-hand furniture, was as satisfactory to her as though she had been destined to sweep down some spiral staircase into a salon of imported wealth. Her hands reddened and chapped through washings on scrub board and unfavorable weather. But the smile of God, lady, on her face held me when other moorings to my soul gave away. She knew peace. Mother would have told you that the angel's song had been fulfilled. There was no misunderstanding between her and Jesus. There was no fear. Whatever the past may have been in her life had been settled satisfactorily. She never spoke of her transgressions. They had been covered. She had entered an agreement of forgetfulness about them with Jesus, and he had removed them forever, as far as the east is from the west. Mother acted on that knowledge. It was beautiful to be around her, especially at prayer time. She talked with Christ as intimately as though he were kneeling beside her. Her Bible was worn and marked. What Jesus said to her in black and white made sense. It was the rule of the house. I can hear her say to me, "Morse, the Bible says, and that will be all. I don't want to hear another word about it." There was no margin for squabbles in her mind. Christ was master. She was servant. and she listened and obeyed. On earth, peace. It was for Mother. What a wonderful peace he brought, that sweet inner assurance. And that is why I'm confident that political, social, economic peace will come to the planet. What he has done for me and overcame all the hell in my soul is a testimony to what he pledges to do universally. The angels knew. They were correctly informed. You ask me, preacher, how can I know such peace? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build on him. There are no cracks or crevices in Jesus. It is an example that is exception proof. He overcame every stress of daily living. He has established victory, and now he shares it with the believer. Do you wish to know peace? Look at him. There was no concern for himself. He did not claw for a reputation. He accepted pain and weariness without complaint. He demanded no attention. It's all there. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Build on him, and he has bequeathed this peace. My peace give I unto you. He forgives. He has the authority to forgive sins. So he will handle your biggest problem for you. The rest are little problems. Sin, wherever it is and in whatever form, is the one essential principle of unrest. There is no peace for the wicked. You'll never know inner quietness until you enter a right relationship with God. Furniture can't do it. Fancy automotive equipment can't do it. Making profit can't do it. Changing marriage partners won't do it. Sin is an interrupter. It breaks the connection. Sin sets us at strife within ourselves. It keeps us in riot and at war. It urges tumult and anarchy. It preempts God-given faculties for unworthy ends. It distorts the vision. It argues that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. It steers me off course and finally scuttles my life. Jesus deals with that troublemaker. He establishes righteousness, and I'm right with God, and I'm right with my fellow man. That's why the angels talked. It is such a great change that it needed to be announced by a special messenger. On earth, peace. I feel so moved toward prayer in this moment. We're right at the margin of great things from God. I'm anxious to kneel before him and know that thousands are at the long, long altar with me. So let's head with confidence toward this grace in the next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Not kneeling too far away from many of you is Betty Armstrong. RD1, Box 209, Century, Florida. Doctors had alarmed Betty. A few months ago, they had discovered a frightening spot on her right lung. She wept her heart out at this altar and found a friend in the great physician. She reports, thorough x-rays recently reveal that it has completely disappeared. Jesus has been good to me. And Mrs. S. Smith knelt with us as the altar touched them at Route 4, 209 Colonial, Blakely, Georgia. This mother had a problem that only divine intervention could change. And she knelt in faith because God had already heard and answered for the salvation of her unsaved husband. So the newly converted husband knelt with her. And together as we prayed, they asked for an epileptic child to be delivered from seizures. And they've been to a reputable physician to confirm that healing. This long, long altar isn't another form. It is a field of victory we're invited to petition. So, Father in heaven, we approach in the name of Jesus. We are thy believers. Thou hast activated faith in us through the word. And we offer thee thanks. Great things thou hast done. Great things thou art doing. It is a privilege and a duty to publish abroad thy ministry to us. We petition thee to multiply the evidences of thy grace and power among us. The drive of our souls is to see thy kingdom extended and more lives brought under thy control. Amen. I'm blessed at this altar. And now come with me in heart and in further extension of faith, and we'll discern what the mighty conqueror has come to do, especially for this service. Our Lord has turned towards someone almost hidden in a prayer corner here at the long, long altar. That person has suffered almost lifelong from catarrh, the mucus of the throat, and it weakens the voice and it embarrasses with a bad odor. That person has been too timid even to mention the infirmity or to ask prayer for the removal. But Christ sees you, hidden at this altar and secretly wishing, hoping that what has happened to others might happen to you. And so it is happening now. The victory is yours to keep. Thank Jesus for it and do His will. You've been to the meeting. I pray you've enjoyed it. We have enjoyed you. There's no ritual that we impose upon you. This is not religious entertainment or program. This is continuing miracle gathering, a network of like precious faith who believe in the ministry of the Spirit. And we have learned beyond question that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.